by looking after ourselves, we are able to create more good in the world because we have enough strength to do it.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. And welcome to Life, Passion and Business. Now, life is always about stories. And that is the foundation of this podcast. It was my desire to discover more about other people's lives that led me here. You see, stories are the core of everything. And when you consider how much of life is set around a narrative, I mean, think about the news, about the people in the news, the events that happen in the world. Venice has flooded this week. It's a story of people in Venice surviving that 85% of the city is now flooded. Yeah, that's news, and we all want to know about it. Think about when you catch up with friends, it's all about what's going on in their life, where they are in their story. And in the UK at the moment, we've got politics, and this is people looking to lead the nation, and they're doing it through a narrative of a shared positive vision. In a blockbuster movie, it is the character's progression that keeps it interesting. And that's why we're interested in stories. We're looking for progression. In the movies, there is the mission or the quest with the potential for success or the ever-present danger of failure. Now, I think that's possibly a very good subject for a podcast short. But onwards for today's mission, which is Dominique Roscoe. My guest on today's podcast was born in Poland, and the seeds of her journey were planted when she was very young. Her grandmother was a natural herbalist, and she had a big store cupboard full of things that would help soothe or ease pain or illness. So the story is interesting for me, as you will see, how it travels in a circle as Dominique returns to her roots. This lady came from an entrepreneurial family. It was natural for her to follow a career path in business. And that business journey was very successful. She ran a marketing business. However, that business nearly killed her. Suffering from burnout and severe adrenal failure, she overcame this chronic illness by switching to a vegan diet. Now, today, fully recovered, she joins me on the program as a qualified nutritionist, herbalist, and vegan chef. She's been running a plant-based nutritional practice for 5 years, where she works mainly with people interested in reducing their meat and dairy consumption. Dominique is sharing her experience through regular workshops, courses, and talks in the UK and Europe, where she teaches nutrition, herbal medicine, plant-based cooking, and food preparation to the general public, chefs, restaurants, and other businesses. She's also an author, a regular contributor to newspapers, magazines, and online publications. You see, all of that energy and passion that went into marketing other people's projects is now focused on her business, on her passion. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Dominique Roscoe. So here we are at Life, Passion and Business. And today I'm delighted to be with Dominique Roscoe. Now, I've seen Dominique around various online platforms that I see, and she is a very inspiring character because I know she is a nutritionist, she's a neuropath, she's an iridologist, she's a vegan chef, she looks pretty gorgeous too, and she's got some amazing tattoos. So we're going to hear more about her today and how her life has unfolded. So welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's delighted. And it's interesting how we've had such a journey getting to here because we've had to kind of reschedule. So whenever this happens, I always know it's got an opportunity to be a really good show. So tell me, how did you, what's the journey? How, I mean, there's a lot of things here to talk about. So we obviously can't go over them in high detail. So how did you get to where you are now?
It's been a very, very long journey. However, since I was a very little girl, there was one thing that I was very sure about my life. I've always wanted to help people. Help people, animals. I was very, very conscious about people suffering and animal suffering around me. And I wanted to be able to contribute somehow and help them. And I remember when I was, I think, 7, maybe 8 years old, and I had that discussion with my grandma, actually. And I told her that when I grow up, I definitely want to become a doctor. Ideally a surgeon or the veterinarian. She started laughing and didn't say anything. And for me, my grandma was really the example of that wise woman who always knew what herbs to pick at any, different times of the year. Her cupboard was always full of, you know, different herbal mixtures and potions and what have you. And she was so inspiring to me. I just...
Where did you grow up? Yeah. Where were you?
I grew up in Poland. I was born in Poland, yes.
So that kind of environment would have lended itself to that kind of natural path.
Yes,
kind of
And I loved it. Whenever she, you know, gave me something, one of her mixtures, I immediately felt better. But at that time, and it's still in Poland, for instance, as far as I know, there is no, you know, the herbalists are kind of very independent, I would say. There are no courses, everyone is self-taught. So it is more like, you know, the knowledge that is passed from generation to generation. But going back to that time when I was little, I was growing up and I went to high school with the business profile. My parents decided that it's going to be best for me because I can later be the accountant or, you know, just understand how the business works. They were both very business oriented. They were running their own businesses. And basically that business trade kind of runs in my family for years, really. My grandpa is 83 years old and is still running a business.
What business does he run?
Basically, he has the property investments and the supermarkets. And yeah, he is basically doing it very, very well. And he knows a lot. And he was very, very inspiring to me. And kind of, I remember that at that time, when I was like 16, 17, I kind of started thinking, okay, I definitely don't want to work for anyone. And I was always kind of, you know, very individual person. I grew up as a punk teenager against every rules.
Funny that. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I kind of knew that whatever I was going to do in the future, it would be definitely my own thing. Completely independent, where I can run things the way I want to be run. That passion and that thought about... At that time, I remember that I was kind of thinking, okay, I will go to the medical school, but I will open my own place, my own practice. But my parents decided that it's going to be better if I continue the business studies. So I studied strategic management, international marketing, and my life went, as you can imagine, into a completely different direction. At that time, I was actually very heartbroken, to be honest, that I didn't, that they didn't allow me to, you know, continue with my passion. I was doing really, really good at the university and I was working at the same time. Very quickly, I started in the company that I worked. I became responsible for the human resources department. I was running the different restaurants as well. So basically, it was always the senior management position. But something was missing and I knew that it is not exactly what I want to do. And then in 2007, I decided to, you know, change my life completely, move to the different country, and I moved to London. Pretty much immediately, 6 months later or so, I opened my own marketing company. It was going, everything was doing very, very well. The clients were happy. I was having lots of recommendations, referral. I pretty much built the business networking and the word of mouth. I can honestly say that. And because I started having the clients from different parts of the world, I was like constantly on the go. My body at that time started giving me some signals that something is not really right and you should actually slow down. So of course, I didn't listen to anything and I just thought, yes, I will carry on. I came up with the entire plan, even the exit strategy for when the company really, really, you know, grows to that point. I had everything planned. Unfortunately, the lifestyle at that time, it was 2011, you know, just living on junk food, really, because there was no time to cook. And all those meetings, you know,
Were you vegetarian at the time or were you?
No, I wasn't. So, yeah, Burger King, McDonald's, what have you.
All the good stuff, all the healthy food.
All the good stuff. Yes, yeah, very healthy. Lots of coffee. And I do love coffee, but I went completely overboard with reaching the point of having like easily 8-9 cups of coffee per day. Plus you know, the weekends really were the time were the best days to actually de-stress with the friends at the parties. So you can only imagine the amount of alcohol that has been drunk. I remember that some of my, you know, old friends, because I was traveling a lot, doing marketing workshops, having all those clients, and some people were telling me, oh my goodness, you are having such an amazing lifestyle. You are doing so well. You must be so happy and proud of yourself. You know, it is that moment when you kind of think, yes, it is all going great. You have money, you have, you know, beautiful house, you have everything what you can imagine. But still, there is a big thing missing. And you are not feeling that you make enough impact, especially in my kind of, you know, very compassionate approach. I could feel, okay, I have happy clients, but it's not the difference that I wanted to see. And I couldn't figure out what it really was. In 2011, really, my health crashed completely. I ended up with the adrenal fatigue, pretty much unable to do anything because even the simple daily tasks, like, I don't know, washing up dishes or even hoovering, you know, it made me feel so exhausted that I had to have like a nap for like an hour or two. Not even to mention about any kind of laptop work. My eyes were burning, painful. I could only do like half an hour at a time, having a lay down and another half an hour. So of course, you know, I wasn't really able to, you know, go to the meetings anymore. And I kind of started getting, you know, very anxious, very depressed as well, because I am naturally a very lively person. I cannot sit still. And suddenly I was maybe not necessarily bedridden, but you know, how do you call it?
This is burnout and breakdown, isn't it? This is classic.
Yes, it is.
We're completely burned out.
If you think that, you know, things couldn't really get any worse, they got worse. So I got that eczema flare-up out of nowhere. I've never ever had any skin problems, even though I had that terrible, you know, diet and terrible lifestyle. My skin has always been like perfect. And suddenly one day I literally woke up itchy all over my face. I remember that like it was yesterday. I was lying in my bed and I touched my face. I was like, what is that thing? You know, kind of very, very dry skin and kind of very hot. So I ran to the bathroom and I looked and I just couldn't believe there was like the patches, the eczema patches that appeared overnight. So of course, you know, I tried to get the GP visit very quickly. She prescribed me some creams, etc. It initially disappeared, but as soon as I stopped using it, it came back and looked even worse. Unfortunately, it started moving down my body. So I remember that I think within 2 weeks or so, I was pretty much covered in eczema. I remember that I was supposed to do the training for one of the very important government clients, actually. And it was the training that was supposed to lead to the bigger contract. That was very, very important at that time, at least. I was getting ready, you know, in the bathroom. I was thinking, oh my goodness, I really need to try to put the makeup on. Of course, I couldn't because those patches were so dry that nothing really helped. I felt so weak, vulnerable. It was, you know, I could feel that I lost all my self-confidence and self-belief. So anyway, I remember I did that workshop. I wasn't really happy with myself. People said that, you know, in the feedback comments that I received later, that yes, it was okay, but it wasn't really exactly what they were looking for. And I knew very well that I didn't perform as well as I wanted and at the usual, you know, my usual level. So things started really going down very, very quickly. I even didn't really feel that I want to meet my existing clients. I started, you know, canceling the contracts, just giving the clients the notice, which was a stupid move because, of course, now I understand, but I had the savings, but the savings will only last, you know, the certain period of months, depending on, you know. But I was just, by doing that, I was just putting myself under even more stress. So it wasn't contributing to anything good anyway. And I remember when I had that horrible, horrible, another flare-up of eczema, and I went to my GP and she was like, you know, but you do realize that it's the autoimmune condition. So there is not really much we can do. It will get worse, it will get better, but you need to learn to live with this. And for me at that time, it was like, you know, my world was destroyed at that very moment. So I came back home crying. I was like, oh my goodness, just, you know, it's not you. It's not how you usually behave. Just think, try to think what you can do. You know, if the, you know, the traditional medicine cannot really help you, let's look at the other alternatives. And that's how I started researching. And the first, I came across lots of different case studies, stories of people who managed to get rid of different skin conditions with the plant-based diet. And I was like, yes, I have nothing to lose really. Although I grew up, Polish cuisine is very rich in different types of meat, and dairy is a big thing. And I was like, oh my goodness, how am I going to survive? Because the only vegan thing that I was aware of was tofu. it was late 2011, early 2012. So there were pretty much no vegan products.
You were a pioneer in veganism at that point.
But anyway, I decided let's give it a try. And I think that especially like right now, when I look at some of my vegan clients and their different intolerances, food intolerances particularly, you know, there are lots of vegan meat replacements, we can say, but of course they are, you know, either full of soya-based, wheat-based, gluten. And of course it triggers, especially if someone is having it every single day, it will, you know, everything in excess will cause some irritation sooner or later. So I think that, you know, now we have that easy access to all those different vegan products, but at the same time, we should be like fully aware of, okay, it's not the type of the food that, you know, you should have every single day. And I think that back then I was very lucky because there was nothing in the shops. So it was a really, you know, whole food plant-based diet that I prepared myself at home. Even though I kind of, you know, especially when I started running the marketing business, I was, you know, I wasn't really cooking much. And it was mainly the ready meals just because it was easy. And I kind of kept telling myself, no, cooking this will take way too long, way too much time. I've always loved cooking. That was something that I had since I was very little. Mm-hmm. And again, there's my big contribution of my grandma. it was a little bit tricky at that time when I started preparing vegan meals, purely because, you know, you are kind of looking for that replacement of the meat on the plate.
Yes.
Whereas it's not necessarily this. You just need to come up, okay, so this will go with this. Yeah, it's just, you know, just your imagination, really. But I found the process very enjoyable. And while doing this, the eczema started decreasing a little bit. As far as I remember, it stopped being so itchy. And because it was the biggest problem that I had, and I tried not to scratch it, but of course I always made it worse because of this, the irritation that I was causing. But what I noticed with the adrenal fatigue, I suddenly started having like loads of energy. I remember the conversation that I had at that time with the friend of mine who is a dietitian, and she was like, "No, you know, it is not a good thing. You cannot be vegan if you have adrenal fatigue." At that time, I remember like today, it was today, I had that gut feeling telling me, "Just do what you feel," and it was so real. I just said to her, okay, I will just carry on for, you know, some time. And, you know, if it doesn't work, just to calm her down, because she panicked. She was panicking that I am vegan and with something so, so serious as adrenal fatigue. But I carried on. And at the same time, I was doing my research as well. And I came across a guy, Jason Vale. He's from the UK. I think he even lives in London. And he's called Juice Master. I read his story about his psoriasis that he suffered from since he was a little boy. Doctor's visits, hospital, they couldn't really find any solution. In his early 20s, he started doing his own research and decided to go to the United States to the guy. His name escaped me, but he was the one who came up with the juicing therapy.
Uh-huh.
And he went to see him. I think he was doing the retreat or something like that. And he came back psoriasis free.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my goodness, that's definitely something that I need to try. So I bought his book. I read the book, I remember, in one evening. The next morning, I went to Sainsbury, and the lady at the checkout was looking at me. I was like, what about all those cucumbers? Because that diet really, is so abundant in different juices that you have during the day. There were like 5 or 6 juices that you end up buying, like, you know, 20 cucumbers, 60 apples, and what have you. So when I loaded it all at the checkout, she was like looking at this. It's like, what are you doing with this? Do you have any catering business? No, I'm doing juicing. And she was looking at me in disbelief.
It's funny how modern that thing is. I was in Tesco's up here recently, and I saw an older guy, probably, I don't know, a bit older than me, certainly. And I'm an old guy, but he was older than I. And he had an armful of celery.
He had like, because, 10 celery. Yeah.
And I says, you like your celery? He says, I have a head of celery every single morning for breakfast. He said it's for my liver. So, it is.
Celery juice is actually very, very beneficial.
I've tried it. It's a bit grim.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, but going back to all of that, I started that juicing. It was supposed to be like four weeks program.
Yeah.
I was feeling so amazing that I carried on for like 7 weeks or something. The most amazing thing happened around the second or the third week. Apart from the bundle of energy that I had during the day, it was like, it was so unreal, because it looked like all that fatigue was actually disappearing within days. But the eczema pretty much cleared by the end of the third week.
Wow.
With no steroid creams, nothing from the doctor. And I was getting kind of very concerned, because I had a big patches of eczema on my neck. And from those steroid creams, the skin kind of became very, almost we can say, transparent and flaky.
Damaged.
And I was like, oh my goodness, it looks so horrible. It looked even worse than, you know, the redness. But it healed completely. Within maybe a month or 2 months later, I had the normal skin again. And it was so mind-blowing. And I started sharing that journey on my Facebook first. And then my ex-husband, we are still very, very good friends, and he's doing lots of videos for me and things, bless him. He said at the time, you know what, maybe because you love cooking so much, and the marketing business at that time was kind of happening, but I had very, very small handful of clients just to keep it, you know, going and to pay the, you know, everyday expenses, bills, really. And he was like, maybe you should start. First of all, you definitely need to start your blog. You also need to, I think you need to, you would love doing cooking workshops.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. I remember I did the first workshop. I had probably 4 or 5 people only attending. But oh my goodness, I enjoyed it so much. I loved it. It was like the, you know, I started at that time because that journey continued. And of course, you know, after the juicing therapy, I was researching the different diets, reading more about the natural health and how you can actually prevent different illnesses with your lifestyle. So I was studying a lot at that time, and I kind of understood at that time that maybe becoming the surgeon wasn't my path. Maybe the answer to everything lies somewhere else. Because even when I thought about the marketing business, I realized that for quite a long time, even before I became ill, I kind of lost the interest and lost the passion.
Yeah.
It wasn't
It's probably why you became ill.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. To show me exactly what I should do. And well,
The universe does that. The universe goes knock, 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 knock. That will make it louder. And eventually it goes, we're shouting at you now.
Yes, exactly. Exactly that. And I think that I know that because I'm very much the action person, and I know that if it didn't happen, I would carry on with marketing. I would carry on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I started only, I think that the journey to healing was really, of course, all about the food and the diet, all about the lifestyle really, but it was also the spiritual journey. I started to become aware of my feelings, my gut feeling, everything. You know, when I actually even analyzed some of the past situations, I kind of felt, yes, actually, you had a bad feeling about that client, that marketing client in the past, but you did go ahead with signing the contract. But you had all those doubts, and it ended up as it ended up. We kind of separated our ways, and I could relate it to everything else in the past. I really started becoming aware of what I feel and how I feel. It was truly wonderful. But with those cooking workshops, I started getting all those questions about nutrition. So if you are vegan, what you should do with this, with that? And of course, you know, I read a lot. I took some online courses initially, the health coaching course, that kind of really started giving me that, you know, confidence in answering people's questions. Because, you know, initially my biggest concern was, okay, I feel amazing right now and I managed to get rid of eczema, etc., and heal myself. But it is my own journey. I don't know enough to actually advise people on different health aspects. And some questions where it wasn't even the eczema. When we think about eczema and compare it to diabetes, for instance, it's a completely different story. But people started asking me, coming with the different, like, big, you know, illnesses, health situations, asking me about the advice. And I was like, no, I'm really not qualified to actually answer that question. It was a big wake up at that time, because I realized that, yeah, you are never too old to study. I decided to go with nutrition. So I studied nutrition, personalized nutrition.
So let's ask a delicate question. How old were you at that time?
I was 30.
Okay.
I was, yeah, it was 30. Yeah, 30.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, yes, exactly. I was 30, 31. But I think that because of that, you know, I grew up in Poland, and basically is that, especially in my town, there was that pattern that you go to the high school, you go to the university, and then you get the job, and that's the end of the story. You have a job and you don't study later.
Well, that's the success model we've been talking about. That's what I was going to talk to you about next, you see. This whole idea of what is success.
Yeah, what is success?
So yeah. Carry on. So you look. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. You got the. You obviously went back into education to discover.
I really wanted to be able to help. So really, the studying nutrition was the first degree in health that I got. Mm. But at the same time, when I started having my own one-to-one nutrition clients, I realized, and I remembered my grandma and having that cupboard full of herbs. And I was like, yes, nutrition and diet, it definitely works, but it all depends on the person's compliance. And with food is very tricky because we have all those little, you know, habits, the things that we like, and the food, some food nowadays, or, you know, the ready meals and what have you, they are very addictive as well. With the nutrition and diet, we will get the results, but it does take longer. And of course, depends on the persons, if they follow your recommendations or not. But I knew that herbs pretty much had the instant effect or very quick effect. So I was thinking, oh my goodness, if I was able to combine the nutrition and the herbal medicine, I decided to study herbal medicine in London, the College of Naturopathic Medicine. Yeah, I think that was the best decision ever, because right now I can see the difference it all makes. So I'm using, you know, over the last 7 years, you know, studied different modalities, because I also studied the naturopathy and the iridology and other different things. So
can you briefly say what naturopathy is?
So basically, it focuses on different, it is primarily the water therapy. So that's what the first naturopaths in the world were using to treat different conditions. And of course, when we think about water, we of course drink it, but we can use it in many different ways. So there might be the half bath, where we are sitting in the bath, and it helps with all the abdominal pain and all the abdominal issues. So primarily it was the different types of the water therapy and different protocols. At the moment, it is quite expanded. So basically it contains the elements of traditional Chinese medicine, especially understanding the different meridians that go through the body. It also contains lots of elements of the Ayurvedic medicine, so the traditional Indian medicine, and how they actually describe different tissue states. That's how they call it. So we have people who are naturally very hot, in touch, and very kind of fiery. We have people who are kind of more chaotic and all over the place. We have people who are very grounded. So basically they have those three different doshas, that's how they call it, and they classify people based on those three approaches. And the healing protocol will be completely different depending on what person you are, what type you are.
This sounds like a podcast in itself.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, because I could carry on. Basically.
So that's a nice little introduction. So in iridology is to do with the eye, isn't it?
Yeah. So basically, you know, like we have the reflexology map for your feet. Yeah.
Yes.
So basically the irids over the years, there have been developed a kind of like the reflexology chart also for the iris, and it corresponds with the different organs as well. Wow. So depending, like when you know, people have sometimes different pigments in the iris, different kind of like the fiber structure, it all has meaning even the color of the eyes has the meaning, and we are naturally kind of we have our strengths and weaknesses in the body and body organs based on the eye color, for instance. So it is very, very interesting modality in itself that now I pretty much use in most of my consultations. It really gives that kind of bigger picture and tells you how you can actually, even if there is a weakness in some organ and we have the genetic predisposition to heart issues.
So do different eye colors mean different things?
Yes, yeah.
Aren't most people, isn't there a kind of an average, like a lot of people there are more blue eyes than certain colors, isn't there?
They are blue, dark brown, and mixed. Yeah. And mixed in itself, it's kind of, we can say, more hazel okay. in color. But for instance, the blue color, it's pretty much has everything to do with the lymphatic system and the immunity and our reactivity to certain triggers. So there might be the intolerances, the food intolerances, there might be some different allergies, asthma, there might be things. Of course, it's not everyone will have all those issues.
No, of course.
But there are these
different... It sounds like a fascinating area to explore.
It is, yeah.
And I guess what's sort of wonderful about it is that you've got a tool that you can use with someone in front of you and you can as a diagnostic.
Yes, it is. So I use it very often nowadays, and it kind of gives you that roadmap to health. That's how I call it. Mm-hmm. Because it really, of course, we will know exactly all our strengths, but at the same time, it will show us the certain weaknesses in the body.
Yeah.
So even if we are predisposed because of the family history to health, to heart issues, or maybe high blood pressure, or what have you, we will know exactly, okay, so this is the heart that needs protecting. Okay, so what herbs I can use on the regular basis to make my heart stronger. It really shows us how we should look after ourselves. So at the moment, I'm using those different elements with naturopathy and the nutrition and lots of herbs and iridology, lots of psychology of eating that I decided to, it was a like 6 months course that I did. It was very fascinating about different eating disorders and how to deal with them and how to respond to them with the right diet, etc. And I know that it's not the end, because as you progress, you will always find something, okay, that actually would go along very nicely with what I do. Yeah. So it is the journey, which I really, really love and find really fascinating.
So is an amazing journey from the marketing girl who started the marketing company in London. It's a really different place to be. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was that story which we touched on in terms of success in Poland was the school, the university, the buying the house, the settling down.
Yeah.
What is success to you nowadays? What does it mean to be successful?
To be successful is, I see it completely different nowadays, as you can imagine. But success for me is being able to make the difference.
Yeah.
With what I do.
Yeah.
I do lots of workshops. I do travel quite a lot. I have lots of one-to-one consultations with my clients, and I find it extremely rewarding when I see the difference that happens after a month, after 3 months, and I see how their health improves. But it is the workshops that I find the most enjoyable, for that very reason that I know that those people will take the information or some information that I gave them. They will apply it because that's the beginning of their journey, because they have that knowledge that I shared with them. If they apply even a little thing, it will make the difference, and they will see that difference and they will share it with others. And we are creating that wonderful, beautiful ripple effect on people. Mm. And I think that is exactly what we need nowadays. Not even, in things related to health, although if we want to make a difference, we need to be healthy. That's what I always keep telling to my vegan clients who are more involved in activism, that, okay, veganism is really not health-oriented as such. It is the ethical or environmental choice. Ethical, more ethical, really, yeah. I would say. If you want to be the voice of the voiceless, you need to have the strength and that voice yourself. Yes. And you need to be healthy. By looking after ourselves, we are able to create more good in the world because we have enough strength to do it. And it keeps us on track. So I think that really for me, the vegan movement, it is the ethical choice. It is, as we know, also the environmental choice. But I think that we cannot really separate the health from it. I think it really needs to be considered as the, you know, one.
So
unity.
You're obviously very focused on the nutritional side of things. Do you get much involved? Are you a big supporter of the physical side of stuff? Do you exercise a lot yourself?
Yes, basically I'm the personal trainer as well.
Okay.
Not practicing, yeah, not doing it. That's the interesting thing, because I decided I've never ever been very active, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
When I started getting well, I decided at that time I lived in Norfolk,
yeah,
in the countryside. And again, the move to Norfolk was the choice to actually move away from the busy life in London.
Yes.
And kind of stay there for maybe a couple of years, so I have that space to figure things out and also heal.
Yeah.
So that's how I ended up in Norfolk. But I remember that when I started feeling better, I just thought, yeah, I should actually do some exercise. So I should start running. It was 2013. And I remember that first run. Oh my goodness, I ran probably 100 meters and I was dying. It was so embarrassing. But I was like, yeah, but it is the first time. But anyway, I remember that I started running in January. And the first day when I went on a run was something like -5. It was freezing. Not the best day to do it.
No.
I was very consistent and I set myself a goal to run 10K by the end of June that year. I did it in March.
That was quick.
And like at the moment, I often do some, you know, half marathons and stuff for different charities.
Fantastic.
But what I realized at that time is like, yeah, you've never really exercised. You kind of was always on that, even as a teenager, I was always on that kind of chubby side. Not really overweight, but kind of, you know, very well built and yeah, more, as my friend is saying, fluffy. That's probably a cool way to describe it, yeah. And then I thought, yeah, but what exactly is going to push me to do and learn more about exercise?
Yeah.
So I decided to do the personal training.
Oh, well.
And it was mainly actually doing it for myself.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So even like right now, I am using some of those, you know, elements, not really training people, but when I give the recommendations, I always recommend some simple exercises depending on the person's, you know, abilities, etc. So it all really comes together very, very nicely. But yeah, going back to success and what it really means is all about being able to make the difference for me.
Yeah, I think so.
Because right now I wake up every single morning and I feel, oh my goodness, that's another day. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. I'm equally happy and I feel that, yes, I'm going to do this and this. I can say that right now I am living a fully passionate, compassionate life.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So this brings me to that question I said to you, which is the surprise question. And it says, what is the one question that I haven't asked you?
One question.
What is the one question I should ask you that I haven't? What is the one thing the world needs to hear about you?
I think that's also the spiritual side of things, that, you know, we are not a simple being. So in our journey, of course, things like, you know, diet is important, but it also that fusion between body, soul and mind, because it is really the one thing. Yeah. And we cannot separate it. And when we think about it, even with the, you know, the most wonderful organic diet that we may have, if there is something happening on the emotional level, either the, you know, the relationship issues with the partner, or maybe some unresolved issues in with mother, with father, anything family-based, or maybe even with a very close friend, or if there is any certain situation that is bothering us, some stressful situation, and we kind of keep our mind, you know, overthinking. Because when we actually start thinking too much about something that, yeah, maybe is a problem, we make it like the, oh my goodness, that's the mammoth problem.
Yeah, we make it bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that on that journey, it is important to find your thing, how you can integrate your body, your health of your body with your emotions, with your mind. So for some people it can be meditation, for other people it might be yoga, for other people they are very active and they really switch off when they are doing something that is very energetic. So it might be, I don't know, the salsa dancing, for instance. Because there is also that, you know, lots of articles that you can find online that, yes, you need to meditate every single morning for half an hour. But I know, and I do meditate, I manage to get to that point where I can sit still, and if at the moment, but it took me years. And I am in that Ayurvedic medicine, I am a pure fire. I am constantly...
No, surprise, surprise. Oh, yeah. I wondered about that one.
So, yeah, I'm very active. So basically, when I started meditating, and it was my very, very good friend Sanjeev teaching me meditation. And I was like, oh my goodness, how am I supposed to do it? It's like not even 5 minutes and I want to move. And can you imagine, it was 2012. And only now we can say that I got to that point where I am really able to switch off and sit in silence.
Yeah. But it was, it's something you were saying to me, which was just, I need to try this up there. I speak. One thing that's really coming through to me is this commonality between you and other guests about the same thing, is that you picked a road that they went down that almost killed you. Mm-hmm. Now, your marketing business literally took you so far away from your core where you needed to be that your body almost shut down to try and stop you carrying on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is what you were saying about the idea of merging mind, body and spirit. And it can be anything. Yeah. It can be meditation. It can be anything that puts you in touch, that keeps you in alignment with your core self.
Yes.
What's important, I think.
That's very
and
true.
Even if you can only sit for 2 minutes in meditation, if it brings you back into alignment with your core self, that's enough to stop you dying.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that we kind of forget about our breath and how powerful our breath is. Because sometimes even, you know, when I don't know, there is a difficult conversation with someone, etc., I sit down and I am fully aware of my breath. And as I take the deep breath in and I close my eyes, I can feel that, you know, it goes all over my body. Really. Yes. And it really brings you back to the point where, just don't be angry, don't panic, because that is not the way forward.
I must tell you this, it's a lovely story on breath. There was a guy, he's a Westerner who went to a monastery to study. And it's his first day in the monastery, and he's shaved his head, and he's in his new clothes, and he's wandering around, not quite sure what to do. And he comes up upon a class of children being taught in the monastery. And there's all these 5-year-olds sitting, and there's like a 10-year-old child teaching them. And so afterwards, he doesn't want to interrupt. So I says, What were you teaching him? He said, this is the first day in the monastery. What were you teaching him? I was teaching him to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Why were you teaching him to breathe? Because why not? We have to learn to breathe. It's the one thing you have your entire life. What do you learn when you first start education? Letters, numbers? Oh, well, we teach breath.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Breathing is so important. And it's like in other cultures, they teach people to breathe, teach children to breathe.
Yeah. And also, I think that, you know, especially now with the sitting lifestyle, we are kind of in that, you know, position where our abdominal muscles, because of that, you know, that posture, are kind of getting very, very tight, whereas our back muscles are getting, you know, expanded. So that's why we all start getting the kind of, back pains, and you know, we need to go to the chiropractor because those back muscles are not strong enough to keep the vertebrae as well.
Yeah.
The core. And with the abdominal muscles, we kind of, when we are in that position, kind of, you know, bending over the laptop or the table, we are not even able to take a full breath. They are just very shallow, short breaths, and we are not really nourishing our body. And we need to remember that actually it is the breath that is the big nourishment for our cells, for our tissues, for our organs. They need the oxygen. So I think that's we should go back to
Dominika. I love this conversation with you, but I have to be disciplined and start pulling this in, because I'm really enjoying myself here, and I think we have a lot in common in conversation. So tell me, how do people get in touch with you if they want to? What's the best way? I mean, obviously the links will be on the website, but what is the best way? What can they get from you? What's the best way to get in touch and work with you?
Yeah, online. I am on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter under my business or brand name, really, Veggie Rasta. The website is also veggierasta.com. Really, you can message me on any of those channels and I will reply.
Okay.
So basically, and the things that I offer are the one-to-one consultations. And I, over the years, I decided I love working with all sorts of different gut and hormonal issues, especially the gut issues, because it really is our second brain and everything starts there. So it is my big area of interest. So all sorts of different digestive gut issues, as well as the hormonal issues, that's what I am passionate about. And most of my clients are actually experiencing some sort of the issues in those areas. And I also do lots of workshops. I do travel quite a lot. The cooking workshops and the nutrition workshops, they are at the moment happening in Warsaw and London. Once a month. And apart from that, they can definitely find me at different vegan events, different vegan festivals, where I do short talks and sometimes offer the consultations as well, like the mini consultations.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for that. So now we come to our final question, which is the question I ask everybody. And now, you know, we're born on this earth as animals, and we live and die on this earth as an animal. And we're obviously part of that process. But humans are the only animal that we know of that thinks there's a greater meaning to this. So what is the purpose or meaning of life for you?
I would again go back to that success question. Because all the environmental issues are very close to my heart.
Mm.
The suffering of any type. So it's not only the animal suffering, but also human suffering. I think that sometimes we think that we are just too little. We are just, you know, not really anyone, you know, significant. We are not really important to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But when we think about it, even with the smallest action, if we think about the collective consciousness and the collective action, we will have impact on the planet, on the animals, on other people's lives. The meaning of life is really We are all connected. It is all about thinking about not only about yourself, but about us all and how we can, all of us, with those little actions that we make every single day, positive actions, make a difference in the life on earth, really. Because it is also, you know, we may think about, I don't know, even the recycling or not buying the plastic. Yeah. And we think, oh my goodness, I'm not buying anything in plastic, any vegetables, but they are all those people going to the supermarket and they are buying all those, you know, plastic covered, you know, veggies. Don't be afraid to talk to people because lots of people, they are not even aware. No. Of what is happening. We think that, oh my goodness, because we see it on social media and yeah, everyone must know it by now. People don't know. And also in terms of the, again, I think that would be a topic for the another time,
it,
you know, the
it recycling. Could be. It help. Certainly could be, yeah.
And you know, there are lots of confusion because I remember when I moved back to London from Norfolk, you know, even the councils make it confusing for people because I could recycle different things. They were, yeah, in Norfolk. Suddenly here in Sutton, I have, you know, a few different bins and this goes here. And I was like, actually, yeah. And sometimes they want the pots to be washed, sometimes not. This, the story in itself. But yeah, as I said, every single action, even if we walk down the street and we see someone kind of, I don't know, stressed, anxious, smile to them because smile costs nothing.
And it can change one person's life.
Yes.
Changes many more. And yeah. It's like what you said before, it's the ripple effect that goes out, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So Dominika, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you
I've
so
really
much.
I really enjoyed our conversation.
I really did enjoy too, yeah.
And who knows, maybe we'll have another podcast on one of these other fantastic subjects that you picked up on today.
Yeah, anyway, it would be lovely, yeah.
All the best.
Yeah, thank you. Take care. Bye.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Dominika Roscoe. If you would like to connect with Dominika, you can find her on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, or at her website, which is veggierasta.com. As ever, you can find these links at the podcast page underneath the podcast player. Now, podcast shorts. It was a fascinating idea doing podcast shorts, and I started the idea a while back. But I noticed when I'm recording on my own, I get conscious of what I'm saying. I'll tend to go back and re-edit or re-record bits, which is great for the perfectionist in me, but it does not get the bloody show out there. However, when I'm doing a live show with guests, there is no editing. We just go with what we've got. So based on that, I decided to make my podcast shorts on the Facebook page for Life, Passion and Business and doing them as a Facebook Live. Because once done, they are live already and out there. So if you'd like to find out one of those, and there was one up recently about mission, you can go to Facebook and look up Life, Passion and Business. Now, while you're there, it would be fantastic if you were to like and follow us, and even better, if you add a comment. You see, hearing your thoughts about the podcast, this life journey, this whole thing would add to the narrative. So that is it for this week. That's the final piece for this week. So thank you so much for your time and attention, and I will catch you next time.